Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of John. John chapter 1. We've read several times verse 1 through 5. I want to read it again, but our text really starts at verse 6. And this is part 9 of our study in John the Baptist. But John chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same, the Word, was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him, Jesus Christ, was not anything made that was made. In him, in Jesus Christ, was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." But our text for today: "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light." But Heavenly Father, please help us today. Help us to see the light as we study the Word of God. Help us to understand what your Word is trying to teach us. And as I pray many times, Lord, give us understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. John the Baptist was sent by God, and his job was to bear witness of the light. We understand the incarnation. We can go to Luke, for instance, chapter 3, and read the story of the incarnation. And I've taught that before, and I probably will teach it again. We can talk about that. We understand that Jesus came to the earth, born of a virgin, etc. And John's job was to say, "Hey, there's the light. That's Jesus Christ. He's the Messiah. He's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." And we understand that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And we understand from the Old Testament, from Leviticus and what have you, there were sacrifices. There were innocent animals, lambs, goats, cows, what have you, that were sacrificed on behalf of sinful man. And Jesus Christ, as a lamb, hung and bled and died, was sacrificed, was killed, and his blood can wash away our sin if we but believe. But again, John's job and the job of the entire Old Testament because truly John the Baptist was an Old Testament prophet. That's all he knew how to do, was preach the Old Testament. He was the bridge between the Old and the New Testaments. And he bore witness of that light, Christ. But that's our job, to bear witness of the light as well. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20. And this is after the resurrection and before he went back in the ascension. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever that I have commanded you. Everything that I taught you, disciples, Peter, James, John, Andrew would have you, go teach that, because I'm going back to heaven. And lo, I am with you always through the power of the Spirit, even to the end of the world. Mark chapter 16, verse 15, Jesus said, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel unto every creature. And just so we understand what's happening, Jesus was born of a virgin. We know the story. But when he was about 30 years old, he began to preach. And he did that for about 3.5 years, we think. But then he was crucified, put in the ground, and 3 days later he rose up from the dead. And we know all this. He hung around for a few weeks, and then he went back to heaven. He ascended in the clouds, and one day he's coming again. But before he ascended, again, these few weeks after he rose from the dead, he gave commandments and what have you. There's a few things that you can read as you go through the Gospels. But he said, I've done the work. I've died for the sins of the world. Now your job, as I go back to heaven, is to go preach. And it's our job to continue what the apostles started, which was to preach the gospel. But this passage here in Matthew 28, Go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Teach them to observe all the things I've said, and I'll be with you even to the end. And then Mark, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. The emphasis is on preaching and teaching and repentance and winning the lost. The emphasis is not on the ceremony of baptism. Because baptism, though it's very important, does not save. You can't get saved by being baptized. You get baptized as a testimony that, hey, I surrendered my life to the Lord. Hey, I'm a Christian now. And y'all knew me, you know, last week or last month or whatever when I was in the bars and all that. But I quit that when I gave my life to God. And now I'm going to try to live right. And we'll study this further, but baptism is a testimony. Hey, that happened to me. But again, Christ's commission, the Great Commission, the emphasis is on preaching and teaching and winning the lost, reaching the heart and having them turn from their evil ways and begin to live for God. In other words, repentance. They preached repentance. John preached repentance. When Jesus started his ministry, I believe it's in chapter 4, I can find the verse, that Jesus preached the same thing, repentance. And that's what John did as a prophet, to preach repentance. And in our studies, we'll get to that. He didn't preach necessarily. He said, hey, be baptized. He did say that. He did baptize. But the emphasis was on the heart, to turn and begin to follow God with your whole heart. Today, churches, some churches, baptism is the only thing that matters. But it's a ceremony. It's a testimony and a ceremony. Or the Lord's Supper. It's something that we should do. We should partake of. Some churches have it every week, some once a month, some whenever they think about it. The Lord's Supper. But the Lord's Supper does not save. You don't become a Christian by taking the Lord's Supper. But if you're a Christian, you should partake. One comes before the other. And of course, we know that the Catholic Church, they go further than that, and they have the Mass. And the emphasis every Sunday, or whenever they have a service, the emphasis is on, hey, come down and partake of the wafer and the wine or juice or whatever. The emphasis is not in a Catholic church that, hey, Jesus died for your sins. Oh, they talk about it, but the emphasis is not, hey, he's what you need. The emphasis is, hey, come down and get this bread and this wine. Come down and partake of this ceremony. And of course, the Catholics teach transubstantiation, that the wafer and the wine become the literal body and blood of Christ. But that's not found in the Bible. That doctrine is completely foreign to the Bible. But again, it's a ceremony. But Christ's commission to the apostles and to us today and all through the 2,000 years since Christ is to preach the gospel. Don't get people to participate in ceremony, but get people to believe the gospel and preach so that they're convicted of their sin, convicted of their wrongdoing, convinced that, hey, I'm doing wrong. I need to stop. And that by repentance and faith in Christ, they can be saved. They can know at that point that their life is changed. Their eternal destination is changed. They're on their way to heaven by repentance and faith. Again, the Bible does not call us as Christians to focus on ceremony, but to focus on Christ Himself. John chapter 19, verse 28 through 30. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, said, hey guys, I'm thirsty. And we know this story. He was on the cross. He was there from 9 o'clock in the morning until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. He suffered for our sins. He hung and bled and died for our sins. But after 6 hours of suffering, hanging there, he said, that's it. I've done all that needs to happen. Again, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, He said, I'm thirsty. And they reached up. I guess they put a sponge, dipped it in vinegar or whatever it was, and stuck it on a stick or something and held it up to him, and he sipped a little bit. But in verse 30, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. It is finished. And he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. He knew that he had done it all on the cross. Everything was accomplished. It is finished. And then he died. And I'm here to tell you today, it was finished 2,000 years ago. The only thing for me or for you to become a Christian is to say that I believe he died for me. It was finished. All the work of salvation was done. All I have to do is believe. Again, the idea that salvation comes through ceremony is completely and absolutely and utterly wrong. Get mad at me if you wish, but the Bible says that we should look to Christ. That's the message of the gospel. That's what he told his disciples to preach, his apostles, whatever. Preach what I've done. That I went to the cross and died for the sins of the world. Believe in me, he said. Not join a church, be there every Sunday, and do all the little things they tell you to do, because there's no salvation in any religious observance. The Mass adds nothing to what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. In fact, the Mass only detracts from it. It distracts you from looking at Christ. Instead, you look up at the front, what the priest does. The focus is wrong. If you want to go to heaven, look to Christ and forget about the Mass. Because Christ died on the cross for you. The work was accomplished, and it is finished. This is a fundamental doctrine of the Christian faith, the finished work of Calvary. He did everything he had to do. He came here, born of a virgin, hung out for 3.5 years, but he went to the cross. And he died for you, and he died for me. And he said, it's finished. 3 days later, he came up out of the ground. 40 days, I believe it was, after that, he went to heaven. And again, one day he's coming back. But it is finished. Put your trust in him. Believe the gospel. Repent of your sins. And put your faith in Jesus Christ, who died for you. First Corinthians chapter 1, verse 13 through 18. Paul is speaking in his letter to the Corinthians. He said, is Christ divided? Or was Paul crucified for you? No. No. Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? No. No. We just read in Matthew 28, Jesus said, go baptize people in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. Paul did not preach, hey, look at me, I'm the one that died for you, and be baptized in my name. He said, no, I haven't baptized anybody but two or three, I guess. Crispus and Gaius and Stephanus. Besides that, he said, I don't know if I baptize anybody else. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17 and 18. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. We know St. Paul. He was on his way to Damascus with letters authorization to persecute Christians for preaching what I'm preaching today. And he was stopped on the road to Damascus by a great light. And that light was Jesus Christ. That light was Jesus Christ who appeared to him on that road and called him to be an apostle and called him to suffer for Christ's name. And Jesus called Paul to preach the gospel, sent him to preach the gospel, but he didn't send him to baptize, because believing the good news, the gospel, that Jesus died for our sins, saves. And baptism does not save. It's just a testimony and a little ceremony, I suppose. You can look of when the Jews came out of Egypt. You can go to the book of Exodus and read it, or you can say, hey, I saw the movie The Ten Commandments, Moses, you know. Moses. Everybody's seen that movie. You get the basic idea of the Passover. There were 10 plagues. 9 of them were bad. Hail, the river turning into blood, all of that stuff. But the only plague that set the Jews free was that the death angel went out at night, at midnight, and killed the firstborn of every house. Again, you've seen the movie, you know what I'm talking about. But that death angel came to a house, and if the house had blood on the doorpost and lintel, the blood of a lamb, that death angel passed over that house and went looking at the next one. That's where we get the Passover from. But that night, Pharaoh said, get out, go ahead on, go, you're free, go. The Jews were delivered by the blood of the Lamb. And then they fled. They got to the Red Sea and the armies of Pharaoh came. And again, you've seen the movie. And they were backed up against the Red Sea. The Jews were. And Moses took his stick, held it out, and God parted the Red Sea. And the Jews went on dry land. They went through the water on dry land. They were, if you will, baptized, which is what Paul said in chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians. And we know the story. The chariot said, hey, we can go too. The soldiers, whatever. They got halfway through, the wheels fell off, and then the waters returned, and all the Egyptians died. The Red Sea was a great thing. The Red Sea was necessary. And it speaks of sanctification and separation from the world and a number of different things. But they were set free and delivered from Egyptian bondage because the Lamb for each house, his blood was shed. And John said, and we'll get to it, when Jesus was baptized, he said, behold, the Lamb of God. Behold, the Lamb. Look at the Lamb. The Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Put your trust in Christ and what he did on the cross for you and be saved. Make heaven your home. Leave your former life. Walk in freedom. Walk in freedom and deliverance from drug addiction or alcoholism or whatever. Walk in freedom. Get on the road to heaven by trusting in Christ. But please understand that religious observance does not save. Only Jesus saves. Put your trust in him and do it today. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus Christ in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net. That's JoeyKelly.net. And click on the ministry homepage or on the radio link. Or if you like, you can write me at 1208 Phocis Street. That's F-O-C-I-S Street. Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly, encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.